The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Hello, lovely people. Today is going to be a tribute episode to my darling girl, Peach. I really didn't know if I should touch on the subject, but to be honest with you, this whole podcast is really about sharing experiences that are sometimes difficult, that create connection, that help you feel more seen. And I thought this is what's on my heart and my mind today. So here I am going to share the story of Peach and share some of the experiences of saying goodbye to her that I feel like may help you if you've experienced it before, or help you if you have an older dog and you haven't really had to have these conversations. Some of these conversations, I guess, you know, when it comes to losing someone, grief can be off the table for a lot of relationships and for a lot of friendships. Sometimes it's too heavy and uncomfortable for people to speak about. So I'm really happy to kind of share my experience in hopes that it helps you should you ever have to experience this in the future. So a little bit of a backstory on how I got Peach. Essentially, a lot of you know that I didn't have anywhere to live, and I was moved into a high school friend's house and into his family home. I had a conversation with him one night at a party, and I said, like, I don't really know what I'm going to do for year 12. I'm really struggling to make ends meet at home. I didn't live with anyone, and I was 16, and I was really worried about my well-being going into the last year of school, which was my main goal at this stage, which is to finish school and get my senior certificate. And he said to me, I've got a spare room in my house. Would you like me to ask my mom if you could move in? So I'd moved in over the December break. And yeah, it was January when I met the mother of the house named Deb. And it was a really rough start. I really struggled to trust anyone with that kind of parental approach to me because my parents were horrible to me and abusive. So I was really struggling with the whole dynamic and pushed everyone in that house away except for my friend Mike. And so I was just kind of rocking up to school, sleeping there. I didn't want to talk to anyone. And eventually, as most of you would know, the story goes that Deb became, you know, very close to me. But in the process of getting me to trust her and to tell me, you know, that she was going to be there for me and that this room was always available to me, I think she probably, you know, researched approaching kids that come from broken homes or have been abandoned and found out that a dog would be a really helpful companion. I'd also shared with her like my love for animals and my connection to them. So one day she said to me, hey, do you want to get a dog? And I think I realized that that was a pretty big gesture because it was a really big responsibility and a long-term responsibility that Deb was offering. And so I said, you know, I would love that, but it's, you know, it's really your house and everything like that. And she originally said, oh, as long as it's an outdoor dog, that would be okay. And so I was like, okay, she has to just sleep outside, but she'll be allowed inside in the day kind of thing. And that was a pretty funny thing to note to begin with. So just park that little rule in the back pocket. So we went looking for a dog and I met lots and lots of cute, fluffy animals, and no one really had connected with me, and we had almost called it quits, and it was like late in the afternoon before we decided to do one last stop. So we've pulled in and there was this little girl on her lonesome. Every one of her siblings had been taken already, and she was a wired-haired Dachshund 3/4 and 1/4 Jack Russell. And she looked so sad. She just looked so lonely and so sad. And she looked like, you know, was wondering where her siblings was. And like her soul kind of basically said to me, I don't know where anyone is, and I just want to feel loved. And it's exactly a reflection of how I felt in that time of my life. So she spoke to me in a way that I can't even explain. And then I just put her in my arms and said, this is the one. And we went home together. And Peachy really became the very first soul that I trusted and knew was going to be this dependent source of love, this unconditional love. And she really showed me the way that I could trust Deb and that I could trust this house and that she would just always be there for me when I got home from school, and I just took her everywhere I possibly could. So she became my sidekick, and Michael, my friend from high school, would always have like mates over, like guys' mates over that were mutual friends of ours, and she hated their guts. She hated every single dude male that came across our house, even Deb's husband, Brett, who's like my father figure now. She just despised him and would always just do things to piss him off, like go through the bins and leave it on his bed kind of thing. And she just would hate whenever he would approach her, even when he would try to win her over. So she was very sassy, very outspoken, she was just very stubborn. And so eventually I met Clay, and Peachy at this stage would have been about 2 years old. And I gave Clay the full warning. I said, you know, just be really careful when you meet my dog, because she hates men. She hates boys. She's very protective of me. She may bark at you. She may even nip you if you make any sudden movements, because she used to do that to like the guys that would come over and visit Mike. And so he had been given the full warning, and he walks into my room and sits on the bed, and Peach takes one look at him and she jumps up on his lap and she starts licking him. And I am in downright shock, because in the 2 years that I'd had her at this stage, there was just no experience of mine where she encountered a guy, a male or a boy, that she liked. And I literally called Deb into the room. I was like, Deb, look what Peach is doing. And yeah, she had just completely embraced him and said, yeah, this one can stay. And so she had picked Clay before I had really made up my mind on him. And again, her soul just really, she's just kind of what I needed in my life to help me out and guide me. Then fast forwarding a few good years, I obviously had Lexi and Lola, to which Peach was so, so patient in my shift in priorities. I always thought this dog would be, you know, number one, sleeping in my bed, which she eventually did, going back to that bookmark that I kept earlier on. She very quickly was not an outdoor dog. She very quickly became a dog that slept in my bed every single night and barely spent any time outside. So, yeah, you know, during motherhood years, when my whole world was turned upside down and, you know, my shift in priorities happened, she just continued to be very patient, protective, loving, always just there. And I just can't even explain how much that dog meant to me. And, she started to age quite rapidly as she approached 12, 13, 14. And I always knew in the back of my mind, this dog can't live forever, like, you know. So I got her at 17, and at this stage I'm about 30 years old, and it was December last year when I noticed that she was starting to struggle with her breath. So I took her to a vet. I hadn't been to a vet for a while, so I went to a random vet, and he was very non-empathetic and very abrupt with his wording. So I wouldn't recommend going there, but I am going to make some recommendations later with some of the experiences that I've had. And he essentially diagnosed her with heart disease and put her on some medication. He said that she would start deteriorating quite quickly, but just to keep an eye on her and to kind of make preparations for the worst. And he said that essentially showed me an x-ray that her heart was so swollen and so full that it was starting to press on her lungs. And that's what heart disease kind of does. So that's why she was struggling to breathe. And it's not lost on me that this dog had too big of a heart. It just was, yeah, a really big shock. And I said, okay, we'll see what the medication does. The medication seemed to stabilize her slightly. Actually, this was like late November, because in December, that was the day that I woke up and she was really struggling to breathe. So I went to a different vet this time, and that was at the Mermaid Veterinary Clinic, and they were absolutely phenomenal from start to finish of visiting there. And I saw a Dr. Liz, and she was just so gentle and soft with how she held space for me, and with her delivery of the news that Peach had gone into heart failure. And so she gave me three options then and there. Peachy was really struggling to breathe. She said option one is saying goodbye to her, you know, today or in the next few days, because this is, we have to factor in her quality of life. The second option is to put her into surgery and see if there's an outcome where they can, you know, increase her time here. With heart disease, it's a very, it's a really horrible diagnosis, because I think by the sounds of it, you can't really reverse much. You can just prevent. And then thirdly, we can put her onto medication. My world just completely stopped, because in my head, this dog had just been here for so long that I was like, I just can't lose her. There's just no way I'm going to be able to be okay. And so I was trying to take on the information, and I thought to myself, I'm not going to put this dog that's about to turn 14 in surgery, because she did have anxiety and she hated going in the car. And so going into the car, then being, you know, left at a veterinary clinic without me and being stressed, I didn't want that. I didn't want to put her through that battle and that struggle.
For me, it was just really bloody important that the last, you know, month or the last days, the last weeks, or her last moments in life weren't through struggle, and that I gave her the most peaceful, loved up goodbye possible, because that's what she deserved. And so I said, you know, can we try this medication and see what the outcome brings? So the vet gave us a medication and we walked away, and I, you know, broke down so badly in the car ride home. I potentially, like, I drove there myself because I didn't think it would be that news that she had gone into congestive heart failure and that potentially I could be saying goodbye to her that day. I drove home and, you know, told Clay the news and the kids the news, and I just said to everyone, like, to every single day is a gift with this little girl. And this was about the time that I realized that I needed to start making some decisions in preparation to say goodbye to Peach. And thankfully, she had the best reaction to the medication that the vet had given us. She was back to her sprightly self, kind of playing around with Tank a bit more, playing around with us a bit more. She slept a lot. She drank and weed a lot, which was a side effect from the medication, but she was eating. She was just receiving the love. She was, you know, with it most days. She was still really old and a little bit, you know, like slow on her feet, etc. But she was enjoying life. And so, and some days she'd just be like a little puppy again. So I was just incredibly, incredibly grateful every single day that we got with her. And to make it even more amazing and lovely was that we had our Christmas break and we had decided not to go away. So I really got to spend so many days at home with her, reading my book with her, like right next to me and just at arm's length, and just giving her all the doggy scratches possible. So for that, I will forever be so, so grateful. So every single day I kept monitoring her. I kept in touch with the vet and gave her the updates. I really think the vet probably thought she had a lot shorter time, but I kept on reassuring her that Peach was doing really quite well. But in the back of my mind, I started making the phone calls. I started making decisions on what I really wanted to, how I wanted it to look. I spoke to friends who had had to say goodbye to their pets before. And what I'd come to understand with heart failure as well is that if the turn took, it would be vital for me to get her assistance as soon as possible, because essentially they can have a heart attack, they could have lack of oxygen to their brain, and it can be really traumatic, not just for the being itself, the dog, but very traumatic for those who may be there witnessing it. One of my biggest fears was that she was going to pass away on her own when I was at work, or, you know, when we were out with the kids or something like that. So I was keeping a very, very close eye on her, and just every single morning just waking up and checking her, and then every single morning in those 60 odd days being incredibly grateful and just thinking, God, this dog is just such a trooper. Then on the 4th of February, we all went to bed and I said goodnight to Peachy. And I had started to say things like, you know, Peachy, if you need to go, you just let me know, okay, because I'm going to make sure it's going to be a really nice goodbye. Like I started to say thank you every night, to where I started to say I'm so loved and I feel safe now. I feel okay. Like, you can leave me if you need to. And, you know, she just received all that and was like, okay, it's all good. And then on the 4th of February, we went to sleep. Everything was all good. And then on the 5th of February, it was about 4:45 in the morning when I was putting my workout shoes on. I usually start training at 5 a.m. in the gym, in our backyard gym. And I could hear this noise and it was like a hitching and it sounded like a tapping. And I looked into Peach's bed and it was her breathing. And I went over to her and she was having the same thing that she had a couple of months back, where she was struggling to breathe. Her heart had gone into another episode of struggling to breathe. And it was then that I realized that I would not be asking her to battle on any further. So I broke down in tears and I said to Clay, I think this is it. I think we need to put her to rest. And it was the most excruciating decision that I had to make, but the greatest gift that I could have given her. One of the most important things to me, and one thing that I decided to do, was to try and put her to rest at home. And because the vet at the Mermaid Clinic was so, so lovely, I did feel comfortable doing it there myself. But for Peach having anxiety when she gets in the car, it might have increased her heart rate and made her more stressed out. So I wanted to really put her needs first and try to do it at home if we possibly could. So I made several calls. I probably called about 6 different places that have contacts with vets. And every single person I encountered of that morning was incredibly empathetic and so lovely at their jobs. So I called around and the closest time I could get was 1 p.m. And I just said, I don't know. I don't know if she can hold on that long. I don't want anything bad to happen to her. So I really desperately wanted someone to put her to rest as soon as they possibly could. I eventually got onto a vet named Dr. Tom Curry. And he was available at this time, it was about 8 a.m. And at this point, he was available at 11 a.m. So I said, yes, let's do it. And full disclosure, this is a $600 process. So it's, you know, a privilege in itself that that it was an option for us. And so we called him. He was available at 11 and it was time for us to really make arrangements for the kids to be aware, and for me to have someone arrange to pick up and collect her body. So firstly, with the kids, they had been part of the process from that first diagnosis. They knew that Peach was unwell and that we needed to start really showering her with as much love and goodbyes as we could, and they had done that in the last 2 months. They had given her lots of extra cuddles and, you know, wrapped blankets around her, and all of that stuff. And on the morning of, I said to them, once we had made the decision to put her to sleep that day, it is time to say goodbye to Peach. I'd organised Deb to come down to look after the girls and take them out, because I think it would be quite traumatic for them to be there at the time. Lexi had asked to be there at that stage, but I had made the decision that she should potentially just say goodbye to Peach while she's still alive and not be present for the actual euthanasia. So the girls all wrote a card or drew a picture for Peach, and we bought some flowers and we put it to Peach and laid it around her in her little bed. And I lit some candles and put some music on, and we all said something to Peach each, of why we were so thankful for her and our favourite memories of her. And it was a really beautiful goodbye, and she definitely felt the love from the kids. And then it was time for the kids to get going. Deb took them to the park and answered any questions that they had, but she said honestly they really didn't have that much to say or ask about Peach. So that really eased my concern for them as well. And I could just focus on my own needs and Clay's needs and Tank's needs as well. So we do have a little mini Foxy Cross that we rescued about 7 years ago. And he was obviously quite concerned about Peach, and we were quite concerned about him, because we understand that losing a pet can be really, really difficult and hard on the other dog, who is their best friend and sibling. And Tank had never has never been on his own without another dog, so that was a pretty big concern. So the process of the euthanasia with Dr. Tom Curry, again, I could not speak more highly of this vet. He came in with so much gentleness and patience and handled it with so much care. I just commend the people whose job this is, but he was so incredibly amazing and careful with this situation. And I had laid Peach on a towel and surrounded her with all the gifts and the flowers and the cards, so that she was just surrounded by the love that we had for her. And then Dr. Tom came in, and it was a three-step process where he first put her into a sedation process, so she was really relaxed. And the second part was the general anaesthetic. And the third needle is the actual euthanasia, where she goes to sleep peacefully. So in that moment, I just followed what felt natural, and I held her little head in my two arms, and I laid down so that we were like pretty much nose to nose and eyes to eyes. And I was just rubbing her little ears with my thumbs and holding her head up so that she didn't have to. Because at this stage, she's still very much struggling to breathe. And I think if she didn't look like she was struggling so much to breathe, it would have been even more difficult. So she was really saying, I need help. I can't do this anymore. And she looked up at me, and as she went into sedation, it was really the first time that morning. And we were wondering, how long has she been like this overnight? Has she slept? Has she had the ability to rest her little head? We didn't know how long she'd been like this. So it was really, really, I guess it was like, you know, that gift, as hard as it is to comprehend, it was a gift to be able to give her this peace. And so holding her little head, she looked up at me, and just before that second needle where she goes under, we just exchanged words and a conversation that said, you know, I said, Peach, thank you for everything. You've been the best dog I could have possibly asked for, and I'm going to be okay. I'm so thankful for your guidance, and I'll never forget you. And, you know, when she had that sedation, she just went calm, and it was the first time that morning that we could actually see her at ease, and I just knew that it was the right decision to make. Her breathing slowed down. Her little belly wasn't just going up and down too fast, that it was actually struggling, and you could see her, you know, heart pumping. So she had gone relaxed, and she looked up at me quite dopily and quite happily and just said, oh, this feels so good, Mum. This feels okay. I feel safe, and I know you love me. And it's like she was just ready to hang up, you know, her duties, and she just felt content. And she looked at me with her beautiful brown eyes for the very last time before she shut them. And I continued to hold her head as she started to go a little bit more and more limp. And then she went to rest. And as she was sleeping, it was time for the third needle to go in, and she was put to sleep. And then Dr. Tom checked her heart rate and announced that she had passed away. And that was at about 11:25 a.m. on that Saturday morning. And I felt lost, and I felt sad, and I felt heartbroken. But I also don't think I was really understanding the gravity of it just yet. And I held her head and put it down, and then I kind of covered her in the flowers, and she looked so peaceful and so relaxed. And then it was time for him to go, and I had arranged for Pet Angels, a service on the Gold Coast, to come and collect her body where they cremate her. So in the meantime, while we waited for Pet Angels, I continued to, I guess, honour her soul, and I could visualise her soul leaving her body, and I just again said, thank you, Peach, like, I know you're here and you're free to go wherever you want to go. And I kind of, you know, gave that vibration and that feeling that I'm okay and I don't need her to stay here if she doesn't want to. And it was really beautiful that I was able to have this kind of limbo part of the process where she was not there in her body, but she was around. And I was very, very comfortable with her little body, and I just didn't want to be far away from it. I kind of just laid next to her. Tank also was very close to her. He laid on the towel right next to her. And we had spoken to the vet, and we had asked a few times, you know, should he be around? Should he be outside? Tanky was very, very aware of what was happening, it seemed. And he was leaning on to me and cuddling me while I was holding her head the whole time. He was very calm, very calm. Like, he's not a very calm dog. He's quite like perky and, you know, upbeat. He's always up for a play. And he was so calm in this process. Like, I could not actually, I was quite blown away. But he was shifting his weight between Clay and myself as we were saying goodbye to Peach. And then while Peachy was laying there deceased, he was laying right next to her. So it was pretty, it was phenomenal to be a part of this experience. And the actual send-off of Peach, I don't think I could have asked for a more beautiful goodbye. I really don't. I really think that that was honestly the greatest gift. She went so peacefully. And I even said that to the vet. I said, that was honestly such a beautiful goodbye. Thank you so much. But yeah, then it was time for Pet Angels to come. Again, I couldn't speak more highly of this experience. Dale was so professional and so careful with how he handled the process. He gave us time. I really think I just wanted to handle it all myself. So I wrapped her up in a towel and he placed a basket next to me and he's like, did you want me to put her in there? And I said, no, like, I want to handle her body as much as I can and give back to her. I can look after her. And so I gathered her and placed her in the basket and I placed her in the back of the van myself. Truthfully, this was the most difficult part for me, was actually saying goodbye to my beautiful angel in body and spirit. It was the last little remnants I had of her, and I took off her collar and I held it to my chest, and Tanky like tried to, you know, he put his paws up on the back of the van to like see where she was, and I lifted him up and showed him. I'm like, we're saying goodbye to Peach. And I held him very close to my chest and I said to him that we would look after each other, and then it was time for her to go. He closed the doors and I held on to Clay and Tank, and that was the most difficult part for me. I honestly really in this moment struggled with the decision that I had made. I didn't want Peach to get burnt. I didn't want Peach to be buried. I didn't want Peach to be gone. And so I said to him, I don't want this to happen. I don't want this to happen. And Clay said, it's going to be okay, Rev. It's part of the process. And he said, you know, like, he didn't really know what to say in that moment, but he just held me and we walked back inside. And I was so thankful that I'd had time in my rational state to make the decision to cremate her. I understood then that it wasn't my decision, that I didn't want her to be cremated. I just didn't want her to be dead. So I made peace with that decision and I let him drive off. And I think I was in complete shock with the process and my feelings, because I really thought that being prepared and knowing that she was on her way out and getting to say all those beautiful words to her and have her showered with so much love, that it was the greatest gift of all and that it wouldn't hurt as much with all of that time and preparation. I was so wrong. I was so, so wrong. It was excruciating to understand that this dog that had been with me my entire adult life was no longer there. She was gone and her absence was so loud, and I didn't know an absence of something could be so consuming. And it was in the moments of seeing her dog bowl for the first time, her empty dog bed, and looking to the door to see, you know, her greet me and she not be there, or looking to my feet or where she sits when I read. That was the most painful part of the experience. I think I actually handled the euthanasia and saying goodbye to a body pretty well compared to when I walked back in the house and she wasn't there. And I said to Clay, I noticed so much anger, which I was not expecting, because when it's someone's time, it's someone's time. You know, she was like 14, which is like 100 and dog years, and she was unwell and she had the most beautiful send-off. Like, what else could I ask for? And I felt a little bit of, I felt like I was being selfish and non-grateful, and I felt shame towards the anger I had. But I think in grief, you have to welcome every emotion and invite it in and know that all of your feelings are valid. And know that there's no right or wrong feeling, and know that everything that you're feeling is okay. It's part of the process and you've got to welcome it all. So that was really one of the most difficult things I've had to go through, and I definitely didn't expect it to be as painful as it was. I've experienced lots of grief in my life, but that was definitely a significant loss. And I went through all of the emotions from, yeah, like I said, feeling shame about what, like judging myself and judging how I was processing it, to this really deep anger. Like, I was so angry. And then I felt, again, embarrassed that I was angry. I was like, what else do you want? Like, how could you keep, she's 14, like, just accept it. But I just let everything out. And I did a massive journal entry where I, you know, let it all out, and I howled and I wailed and I screamed into my pillow. It was time for the girls to return home as well, and they, you know, they noticed Peach wasn't there, and I said, you know, it's time that Peachy has gone on to heaven. She has passed away. They really did seem to take that quite well at the time, and I think that in the days to come, it's been 4 days now, the last 2 days have been more difficult for them than the first 2 days, because I think it's really telling that they're 5.5 and 3.5. They've never experienced losing someone. So until you've experienced grief and the loss of someone, when you say something is about to die or we're about to have to say goodbye to something and they haven't experienced it, they're really going to be experiencing this in layers as the process and time goes on and the absence of her is consistent. That's when they're really going to be accepting it. But they have said the most profound things to me. I've been very honest and transparent with all of the processes, because that's what I've read and learned to do. And one of the conversations that unfolded was that Lexi said to me she wanted clarification on the term passed away. She said, you know, so if she's passed away, has she died? And I said, yes, honey, she has died. She's now dead, and it's a very tough time for us all. And Lola said to me, she's not dead, Mum. She'll die when we die. And so I felt like she was trying to say, I don't know if she was or not, but this is kind of how I took it, that, you know, Peachy will die with the memory when we die and when we pass on. But until we still have that memory of her, she'll live on through us. So that was pretty cool. And the next day was really painful. I woke up and it was my first time in 14 years that I'd woken up without this dog here, who greeted me every single morning with a wag of the tail, and, you know, her shoulders would be shaking because she's wagging so hard at the sight of me. And to not have her there, again, excruciating pain, and really, you know, hitting home that she was gone. I said, let's get out of the house, let's go for a walk, let's take Tank, and we'll just try and move some of our energy, we'll go for a walk on the beach. And a habit of mine, which is pretty common for anyone with a roller door or a gate, is you pull out of the house and you look back to check to see if the gate or the roller door has been shut. So out of a habit, I pull out of my driveway, I look over my shoulder, out of my window to see if the roller door has shut. And to my absolute surprise and shock, there is the biggest, beautifulest rainbow literally falling and like going into our roof. That's how I saw it. The perspective of where I was situated in the car was this beautiful rainbow going into our house as if to pick up Peach's soul and take her to the other side of the rainbow. And I was just like so overcome with emotion and gratitude for this beautiful sign from Peach. And I did a U-turn and I said, guys, look, it's Peachy. She's going over the rainbow. And I just couldn't believe it. And then I took a little video and shared it on stories, and Lexi, you know, fully comprehended what that sign from the universe was, and it was a beautiful piece of closure for us. And then, yeah, we went for a walk, and I think the biggest concern for me at the moment, apart from myself, is definitely Tank. He's very lost. He's got a little bit of anxiety. He's very clingy. He hasn't not let us out of his sight. I've taken him absolutely everywhere with me. I've not left him, because there was an instance where Clay and the girls had left the house and I was grieving in my bedroom with my door shut, and Tank had thought that he was alone. And I am in my bedroom and I can hear howling, a cry, a howl, and I'm like, what is that? I thought, is that one of the kids? Like, I'm sure they've just left. I've run downstairs to Tanky and he's howling at the roller door, thinking that he was all alone for the first time without Peach. And I just embraced him and said, oh, little man, I'm not going to leave you. It's all good. And my heart just broke for him. So we're definitely taking every precaution that we can with Tank and holding space for him, because we don't want him to develop any sort of anxiety, and hopefully support him through a traumatic loss for a doggy. So that has been my process so far, and I'm trying to be very gentle on myself. So many of you have been incredibly supportive and just so kind to me in holding space for me. I'm really passionate about being authentic online and holding space for the good times and the hard times. You know, this is the human experience, and I always want to show up to you guys and be transparent at where I'm at. I've found, you know, going through videos so cathartic and so healing, and sharing that with you guys. I know that it's brought up really hard feelings, but also, you know, memories for you guys, and also understanding what it could be like. I can imagine that not knowing the process could be a really big shock to people. So I'm grateful that I've had a few friends that have gone through the process themselves, and it being really, really quite a beautiful thing to have that support and that connection to an experience beforehand. So I'm hoping this episode may have provided some comfort and some understanding, some educational aspects as to what are some options for you if you are presented with caring for an old dog. At this point, I'm just going to continue holding space for all the family members, for myself, for Tank. And I guess, you know, I think it's definitely in the cards. I'm already longing for another companion when the time is right. So I am just trying to sit with every emotion and not judge it, to understand that there's no right or wrong way to go through such a difficult time, and really just honour the memory of Peach. We are going to get her ashes on Monday the 14th of February, which is Valentine's Day, Day of Love. And we're going to be holding a little ceremony for our family and, saying our goodbyes then. And I actually am looking forward to that day, because I feel like I'll be able to again go through another stage of letting go. And I am just looking for little signs of Peach and really understanding that she is going to be with me in spirit wherever I go, because someone like that imprints on your heart and becomes part of you. But yeah, I do really feel like a piece of me did die on that day that Peachy left, and I don't think I'll ever be completely the same without her, and I absolutely will never forget the love that she gave me. I hope this episode does provide you with some sort of comfort or educational aspect. I didn't have any notes today. I don't have an affirmation for you. I just am sharing the story and my experience. I love you, and I just want to say thank you again for holding space for me and sharing stories with me. And I hope you have a good week.